I could not be more excited to welcome Able as a partner to the podcast, and I'm so excited to introduce you to a brand that I not only love, I respect. Able is a Nashville-based fashion brand focused on empowering women, both the women who make their products and the women who wear them. Able is famous for their leather bags, handmade jewelry, shoes, and the best denim jacket around. You are going to love these high-quality, gorgeous pieces, and here's the best part. Got it from my mama listeners, get 20% off their first purchase site-wide with code MAMA20 when you visit ableclothing.com. Remember, every purchase provides an opportunity for change. Okay, who doesn't need a little escape with some reality TV every once in a while? The Real Housewives series is one of the longest-running, most popular guilty pleasure shows out there, and I loved getting to talk to Gina Kirschenhider from The Real Housewives of Orange County for this episode. She is real, she's funny, she's a complete breath of fresh air on the show, and it was really special to focus this interview on Gina as a mom. But don't worry, we also get some fun scoop from behind the scenes of The Real Housewives. Gina, thank you so much just for spending time with me today. And I'm so excited to get to talk to you because when we think about, you know, the Housewives series, there's the glitz and the glam. But what I love about your story is that you kind of ended up on this show in more of an unconventional way. You were not living this high glam, high fashion, high dollar lifestyle at all. Mm-hmm. So you mix things up a little bit on the series.
I think for sure. Yeah. I'm still not, Jennifer, living on 6 years later. I'm like, wait, I'm ready for it now. But yeah, it's a climb, you know, I'll get there.
Has it been a challenge to not let the environment that you're now in kind of affect you? Because I feel like you've been able to enjoy the lifestyle and being and hanging with, but it doesn't seem like much about your life in general has changed.
Yeah, for whatever reason, honestly, Jennifer, like I don't find that to be difficult. And if anything, truly, and I've said this before and I continue to say it because it's the truth, I feel like the show has just grounded me more. You know, yeah, I'm around a lot of like glitz and glamour and like, you know, all this like fancy stuff and fancy people and all of that. But you also get to see like a lot of the side of it that shows you everything that you don't want to be and you don't want to be a part of. And I think it's just like my upbringing, the way I was raised. Like I just have really, really great parents. They're not perfect. You know, they have had to go on their own journeys to get where they are today. But like they've always instilled in me like a really good foundation and like confidence. I've always been like a confident kid. I've always been like okay with who I am. And, you know, I can laugh about things that are perfect or whatever, but like for whatever reason, I just like, I know I've gone through a lot. Everybody goes through a lot, but I know who I am and I know who I'm not. And I like who I am and I'm okay with who I am, you know? And so, although maybe, you know, as time goes on, you know, now it's more fun with the clothes and stuff like that. And I still enjoy all that, but like, I'm never going to be what I'm not, you know, I'm never going to transform into like some weird fancy version of myself. It's just not going to happen.
Right. So you grew up with this, you know, the stable household, the parents, the people who instilled confidence and so many things that you're finding have really helped you to ground you in a little bit of a chaotic and crazy world that you're living in. How important is that to you when it comes to parenting your three kids, that they get to experience these things about the way that you grew up that really have helped you stay grounded as an adult?
Well, I mean, I guess like, first of all, I always tell my kids, I'm like, you're so lucky. Like even the lifestyle that I'm like living now, I'm like, I didn't grow up like this. Like, I'm like, and even just the weather, I'm like, where you live right now, you kids are so spoiled by the sunshine. You don't even know. Like, you don't understand what it's like in the winter.
We New York probably back horrible, and say that, you know, you grew up in Long Island. So that is quite the contrast, right?
And nothing, you know, I have such Long Island pride, but honestly, like I still feel privileged to live where I live now and to be living this lifestyle that I have now. And I know like, you know, in terms of the show, it may not be above the top, you know, I'm not not to bro. Obviously, I'm not living this like fabulous lifestyle. And I love Heather and I love her lifestyle. And it's great to have friends that have fancy shit. Like, that's amazing. But like, but at the same time, like, I still feel very lucky and privileged. And I'm still very proud of my lifestyle that I have here in Orange County. And I, you know, I don't, it's not, I'm not jaded. I'm not like taking it for granted. And I look around every day and I'm like, wow, like I'm still blown away that I get to live this lifestyle, you know? Yeah, and so I think that I appreciate it. And I think that I'm trying to instill in my kids like an appreciation. And, you know, I never miss an opportunity to tell my kids how hard mommy works to allow us to have this beautiful lifestyle. And I tell my kids all the time too, like, you know, I make sure they know, although this show is fun and sometimes, yeah, people recognize mommy or you guys and we get fun perks and things like that, doesn't make us better than anybody. It doesn't, you know, I have a job that comes with some cool, fun perks, but that's what it is. You know, I clock in and I clock out, and my kids, I'm very communicative with my kids. So they understand that and they get that. And, you know, it's cute when like, if they want to, you know, maybe like, you know, their friends think it's cool or whatever, but it's not really a big deal. It's not really, and we're not better than anybody. You know what I mean? It just is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. What's kind of the short version of how you ended up a somewhat normal girl, three kids, married at the time, you know, all of the things. How did you end up on this incredibly popular series?
It happened totally by accident. So crazy. It was my friend Tatiana, who you see on the show sometimes because they bring Tat to everything. But we became fast friends because we were both from New York. So we hit it off, but we hadn't really known each other that long. And then I found out she was auditioning for Housewives. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what's an audition? You know, I had no idea. And then she, Meatball, nobody, they're so cute. And then they do like a first interview, it was like a Skype interview. And then they pushed her through to like the next round and she had to fill out an application. It was like a 9-page application. There was a spot for like, if you know anyone else who would be interested. And she put my name and number and like two of our other friends and they called me. And 2 months later, I was on the show.
What were you doing at the time? Like, I mean,
when they called me, I'm not even joking, Jennifer, because I like literally remember, you know, because it's like a life changing phone call.
Yeah, it's one of those things you remember.
Yeah, I was literally like holding Luca. You know, my ex was at work like usual. I was holding Luca because he was like hysterical crying about whatever it was in the moment. He was a baby, you know? And then I remember Nick and Sienna were just like running around. The house was a disaster. They were like, you know, yelling and like having fun and whatever. And the TV's on in the background and it's like pure chaos. And I'm like on the phone with this guy, Matt. He was like the casting guy at the time. And he was from New York and we were like just making each other laugh with like stupid nonsensical stuff. And then before you knew it, he's like, okay, you know, we want to come in and interview. Can you send me pictures? And I'm like, oh my God, when am I going to have time to even send these pictures? I didn't even really have like social media. Like I had like one.
It's not like you had headshots ready to send out, right?
No, I had like one Facebook page with like 200 people. It was private. And I was not even good at that because I was so drowning, you know, in the kids, you know, and it was real life. And so, and the only reason I would even put them on Facebook is because my parents would be so mad at me that I would have, because they wanted to see their grandbabies, you know?
Exactly. When you say all that, it makes me think about how the life you were living in that moment when he called you, that's Real Housewives right there.
Real Housewife. Yes. And I still live that life. Like when you see now they come over and I'm like, oh, like I have piles of laundry and I have, but I'm like, it is what it is. Like I can't, you know, maybe one day I will work my way out and I will get to where, you know, I work and I could get a little bit of help or whatever. And I'm a big proponent of that. Like anybody who can afford help, I'm like, get it, you know, like moms need help, you know, but the reality is we can't all afford it. And we do take on way more than what we should unpaid. And it's the hardest job ever. And we do it, right? And we do it with a smile on our face most of the time, you know, because that's what it is. That's that gig. And yeah, I guess I remember him saying, we're going to go forward. I never thought I was going to get on the show. Like even when I was doing the interview process, honestly, it was just fun. And I was like, this is weird. Like, this is crazy. And then I remember the next round we got through and Todd, we were together doing it and they wanted us to come to LA. And I was literally like, Todd, I'm not going because I'm too busy. This was fun, but I can't keep doing this. Like, why are we, you know? And she's like, no, well, let's do it. She schlepped me to LA. And I remember they sat me in a room and they were just like, just be yourself. We love you. Keep being yourself. I was like, I don't know how to do anything but that. Never lied about my lifestyle, nothing, you know, and never claimed to be rich. And I think it was just right time, right place. And then they kept passing me through the rounds. And then finally they offered it to me and it was like so surreal. I was like, really? Like, I drive a minivan. Like, really? You know? And
yeah, I think it speaks so much to who you are. It was your personality. It wasn't about, you know, the little extras. And I mean, let's face it, when we watch the show, we expect to see things that feel unattainable to us or things that feel like a lifestyle we can't relate to. But you brought an element of just being you. And so it was like kind of
relatability is what I hear a lot. People like that I'm a normal person but that I could still hold my own in this group. Yeah. And if at the end of this, because it will end, it ends for everybody. If at the end of all of this, like that's the one thing that I'm most known for being relatable, like that is such a source of pride for me.
For sure. It's the ultimate compliment.
Because I am a mom and I know how hard that is. And for other moms to be like, we watch you and we see ourselves in you. It is such a good compliment. Like I love that, you know, and I think that's maybe part of what makes me also feel like I don't need to level up or change in any way. I mean, everybody wants to be successful. Of course, I want to grow my business and my brand and all of that, but I will not and do not want to lose who I am in this. And I won't do that. Yeah, I'm not going to. And like, you know what's interesting though? In some ways it's harder because I'm not wrapped in Chanel, right? So all I have is who I am. And it's been hard to share all of that with everybody, you know? So it's kind of interesting. It's like, I don't have the defense mechanism of, I don't really feel like being open about my personal life and situation and all these things. So I'm just going to show everybody my mansion, you know?
Yeah. That's a great point. Take me back to the decisions. They offer you this. You're married at the time. So you and your husband had to have some pretty deep talks about what does this look like for our family? What were you weighing as a mom of three young children? And that was your life. That's what you were devoted to with your time. How did you weigh, or did you struggle with the decision of what am I doing?
I mean, I'll be very honest with you because I think this really is important because there's so many women who can identify with like everything that I went through in my relationship as well. So I feel like it is very important to be transparent in the moment, like when it was offered and the whole way I was auditioning, my ex was very against it because he didn't want his bad decisions to be exposed, right? And really, ultimately, it was also a decision because I didn't want his bad decisions to be exposed because he was the breadwinner and I didn't want him to lose his job and all of that, you know? So like, it was a hard decision, but like ultimately in my heart, going through the interview process kind of gave me like new life. Like I was very deflated. I was very depressed because of everything going on in my relationship, because everything that happened between me and my ex had happened prior to me interviewing. And we were still trying to work it out and go forward because also there's a huge part of you when things like that happen as a woman in my situation, what are your alternatives? What am I going to go do? Like, it's just so scary for so many reasons, right? And all of a sudden you're interviewing and you're sitting down with these producers or whatever. I don't even know who these people were or what a producer was, right? And but I'm talking and I have my personality and I'm dressed up and I feel good and I'm being myself and they're laughing and they telling me how much they like me and how they think I'm so funny. And honestly, I was like, wait a minute, I am funny. Like I am great. Like, you know, and it
that
kind of
has, feels like, yeah.
Yeah. And I got my confidence back in a way. And I think obviously I was going through also the extra, you know, feelings and like depression of having, you know, somebody have an affair on you and all of that. But like, I think just moms in general, just being a mom and transforming into mom means that you lose who you were. It's like a metamorphosis, right? You were Jennifer. Now you're a mom. And right. Mom can be depressing. And mom can be, you know, make you feel not great. And mom has an extra 10 to 15 pounds. Like, it's tough to be mom, you know? Yeah. And mm-hmm. I really like was like, oh my God, this is so great. This is, I am. And it kind of helped me get my confidence back. And then I got to the point where I'm like, I understand that he doesn't want me to do this because of his bad mistakes. But I feel in my heart, the universe is speaking to me. And I also feel like I'm not going to say no because of your bad choices. I'm not going to take away an opportunity from myself because you chose to do what you chose to do. That is for you to carry, not for me. And I just wanted to do it. I didn't see it at the time as like a way out. I really still was committed to working on my marriage and all of that. But I didn't want to give up the opportunity and I didn't think I should have to. And so right. It was extra hard to say yes because my partner didn't want to do it, but I right. still did it. And I'm so proud of myself for doing that because then everything that you do after that, it changed the course of my life. And what sure. I would say to moms is to any mom who is in my situation, it won't be, you know, I got like a surprise save, surprise, you're going to be a celebrity. You know, nobody gets that trump card and I understand that. But like my advice would be don't like stay in a bad situation or like settle just because it's like scarier to be alone. Like being alone in a bad marriage is actually lonelier than being physically alone.
Right. That makes so much sense. Don't you think there's also value in, I don't know, I feel like when I, through the years, have been able to work on my own passions and something that felt like it was for me or about me, aside from the family and the kids and all of that, it made me a better mom because I was a happier person and I felt more self-worth.
Totally, totally. And honestly, I don't want to be presumptuous, but I do think that that part of that sometimes also depends on your partner, right? I do believe mm-hmm. that. I believe like if you're with that partner and you're doing the mom role and the house manager and all that, and your partner identifies and recognizes that as a job because it is in a role, and they're constantly like making you feel good and secure about that role, and that you're, you know, da da da. Then it doesn't. You don't start to feel maybe less fulfilled, like you feel solid in that area. Like I have a friend, she's mom, but like her husband's so good to her that it goes. And I think maybe, and I'm not saying that even if you don't, like you have a bad husband, but I'm just saying like, if you don't have somebody so over the top, it's very easy to like overly supportive about it or who really gets that. It's easy to feel mm-hmm. like that. And of course, I guess what I'm saying is like, I understand how certain stay-at-home moms are very content just being stay-at-home moms. And I think that's great because it's enough of a job. It really, it's so hard.
But you're right. Most of the people that are happy in the role have a lot of support.
They have, yeah. And their husbands yeah. recognize that they're doing this amazing, incredibly hard job and that makes them feel secure in it. But there's a lot mm-hmm. of people who don't because it's not maybe treated like it is enough or whatever, like even within their own home. And then that's a natural response to want to go get something that's for yourself. And there's nothing wrong with that either. You know, like I don't like I worked until I had my second child. I work every day of my life now, but I feel great about that. But like, I loved both, you know, but I do think that yes, to always have something for yourself is important. And it doesn't even have to be paid. It just has to be something for yourself.
Oh, because, absolutely. Yeah. I totally agree. So you mentioned that even before you took the show, the marriage was kind of, you were struggling. And yeah. so then you're on the show. So inevitably that meant that you had to walk through a divorce in the public eye. What was that challenge like as opposed to someone else who is going through it in a more private way?
If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at RootsMusicRambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
I mean, it's not easy. I can't compare because I never went through a divorce in a private way. You know what I mean? But mm-hmm. what I can say is like, for me, I think for a lot of people, it brings out the worst in them. it makes them want to trash their ex. It makes them have this platform to like create all these problems. But I think that my focus was just always my kids and my kids' feelings. And so I wanted to protect them and they make sure that they were safe in all of this. And to me, it's like whatever happened between me and my ex, that was between me and my ex. But my children's relationship with their father is a completely different thing. And they don't deserve to have all of that smeared around and blown up in their face. And I was very protective of that. I think you can see that as like on the show as it goes on. Like I'm very protective of it because I know that that's just going to lead to like way more problems. And you see it. And I see all the, these women, a lot of my cast members have guilt. Like that actually was kind of helpful. Like I'll be honest, like Tamra specifically, like she will, and she's admitted and she has, you know, had conversations with me before how she has, you know, regret for some of the ways that, that she moved through it. And I think that's really admirable of her to like, oh, I always have felt that like, look, we're not perfect, but like, if you recognize that you take responsibility for it, like that's a beautiful thing. And like, to me, having like some of those conversations with Tamra and even Shannon, honestly, to some extent where they acknowledge that they wish that they had done things differently and to share that with me also just helped to reiterate that I was doing the right thing. And I think that you can see that my outcome is very different than some of the women who have gone before me. And like, that was helpful too, you know? So even though maybe they didn't handle it,
that was positive for them too.
Yeah. So maybe they could just feel good about at least that, you know?
Exactly. You, Matt, have actually gotten to a really nice place of co-parenting and figuring that out. And I know that that is such a challenge for women when they've gone through, whether it was super messy and had all the layers like your situation did. But the fact that you guys have figured it out is so, it just speaks so much and so highly to the fact that those kids come first.
Hey, Jennifer, let me just put my dog outside. I'm so sorry.
No, you're totally fine.
I hear great feedback from those of you who have tried Coat Defense on your pets. Since we've been using the sensitive skin shampoo on Tucker, he is less scratchy and more shiny. In between baths, Coat Defense Daily Preventative Powder is a game changer. It eliminates the bacteria that causes odor, and unlike a typical deodorant or spray, Coat Defense doesn't mask the odor, it eliminates it. Tucker's friends at Coat Defense are offering you 15% off to try the Daily Preventative Powder or any of their other awesome products that they offer for pets' health. Just use the code MAMA15 at checkout. Able offers thoughtfully designed apparel, denim, shoes, handmade jewelry, and leather bags that are to die for. These are items that you can feel good in and feel good about. Each piece is manufactured in the communities where Able makes an impact, including neighborhoods here in Nashville, Tennessee, and around the world. I love that women comprise more than 90% of the staff at Able, and Able has seen firsthand how providing women with safe, dignified jobs has the power to change not only their families, but entire communities. Use the code MAMA20 for 20% off your first purchase site-wide when you visit ableclothing.com. Remember, every purchase you make provides an opportunity for change. If you haven't tried Bareface Skincare, let me encourage you to change your skincare game and see the difference. Use the code MAMA15 to try any of their medical-grade, results-driven products for 15% off your purchase. You might want to check out the Jennifer's Favorites bundle. The bundle includes the Liquid Gold Vitamin C Serum and the Bareface Hydrating Lotion. I use both of these twice daily and love them. When you purchase the bundle, you will receive the travel-size toning pads as a free gift with purchase. I'll put the link to order in the show notes, or just visit barefaced.com and search the word Jennifer. If you're new to Bareface, you can use the code MAMA15 and get 15% off your first purchase at barefaced.com.
I just think like at the crux of it all, no matter what your circumstances, divorces are really hard. They're the end of a relationship. It's like the death of a relationship, right? Mm-hmm. And I would implore people just to like look at it instead of like that as an opportunity to rebirth a new relationship, right? Just that's over. That was a disaster. You both sucked at that, right? It's not like it's like it all crashed and burned, right? But now you have an opportunity. You have this responsibility to these children that you chose to bring into the world. They didn't choose to come into the world. And you really still have this opportunity to show them look, we weren't great at that, but we love you enough. We're so great at this. And we're still great partners. We just weren't supposed to be romantic partners. There's still pride in that. There's nothing wrong with that. And I think like the crux of it all is like, you truly just have to love your children more than you hate your ex.
Oh man, that sums it up right there, doesn't it? Wow.
Yeah. And I believe it and I live my life by it. And then if you do, because at the beginning, you will hate your ex. You're always going to hate your ex, right? Because it's like so much emotions and this whole thing. And we put so much pressure as a society. You're going to hate this person. And that's okay. But you have to fake it till you make it. And if you do, and you both try, and you know, you don't take the shot when you want to take the shot. And you know, and you call your best friend and you take the shot that way, you know, do whatever you have to do. Because then eventually, really, it does get better. And it does start working and you do start communicating and you do start working well and you work towards something. And then before you know it, like you wake up one day and you're like, damn, we really are good at this. We really have moved on. We really have chosen to let it go, let go all the bullshit. And because honestly, like who wants to carry it around forever? I just don't. I'm not a person who wants to carry around the heavy burden of bad decisions. You know, I just don't. I'd rather release it and move on and find personal growth and get better and learn from my mistakes, you know?
Yeah, I love that. You have so many life experiences that I feel like you can speak into. So now you can officially share about having a blended family and what that's like and kind of playing the role of not officially a stepmother, but I mean, when Travis's kids and your kids are all together, there's six of them.
Yeah.
Right? When you guys are splitting time, do you choose to have all the kids together or do you have his and then hers and then you get no alone time? Like how have you worked that out?
We are very much blended. Our children actually blended together so beautifully. I can't even tell you like how much our children love each other. Like it makes me want to cry because they truly do. Like they really are a little squad. And it's really, you know, even outside of me and Trav, like they are best friends. They are like ride or dies. They just love their life that they have together. And it's really cool. It's all because I think also like they're the same age and they all go to school together and all that. But we have the same schedule. That made things easier. At first we always had some overlap, but at first it was a little off. And now that it's totally the same, it made things so much better because we really just can operate fully as a blended family because the time that they're with us, that's what family life looks like. And then they're away for the same time too. So nobody's like having extra time or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think that was really helpful. I think our kids being the same age is really helpful. And I don't know, for whatever reason, their personalities just blend well together. I think that was a little luck. Honestly.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I mean, you know, you would think out of the six kids, a couple of them might end up being besties or whatever, but to have six that are truly, you know, have meshed together. Yeah. And it sounds like when they're with you, they want the others to be there. So it works out beautifully that you guys
totally. Get to all be together. They really do. Yeah. And I think I think it's fun and I love it. And I like being a bonus mom. I never thought I would. I never even thought, like, I wasn't the girl who even was like, I'm going to like dreaming about my wedding or having kids. Like I wasn't obviously thought that would happen, but like, I never was that person. Mm-hmm. And I certainly never thought I'd be like a stepmom, but like, you land where you land and I'm really happy where I landed. So I have no
challenges in parenting and being the stepmom or the bonus mom. And do you feel the need to discipline in a different manner or what's that journey been like?
Well, definitely. Yeah. There's challenges. I mean, everything's challenging, right? Life is challenging. So I guess everything, it definitely comes with different challenges. I think that in general, every kid you need to parent different too. So I think we try to keep that, but like, I have no problem disciplining my kids, my stepkids. We're really like a unit. So it just kind of is what it is. But then you have to make some edits for, you know, that particular child's emotional state, what they're dealing with on, you know, they live a whole other life that we're not a part of too. So you have to take that into account. Certainly there are things that like come up, you know, as a stepmom that like, challenge you more because you're also dealing with like a lack of control of the other side. And so like, you know, you have things that come up, little like, resentments or hot buttons or something. You know, I'm not gonna pretend like there's not, but like when you love someone and you really know that this is all your family and stuff, you just have to communicate, I think is a big one of them. I think like you have to, like, if something's bothering you, you have to talk about it, or it will build up and fester and it will become really, really bad. And
I love how you use the term you have to edit to each child. That's a really great way to put that, you know, because everybody, like you said, has a different background, different baggage, different whatever. And you kind of edit your disciplinary or your communication style with each kid.
That's great. So you have to have like a foundation. How, you know, you can't be giving, you know, too much or too, you can't, like, so there has to be some foundation of like, look, if you do this, you know, you're losing your iPad. If you do this, you know, it's just standardization. But then like you do have to edit and cater towards that children's particular needs because they're all different.
Yeah, and that includes
my own, you know, I can't treat Nicholas like I treat Sienna, like I treat Luca, because they're just three, they're people. These are people. I know we call them children, our children, our stepchildren, whatever, but they're people. And they're all different people and they're going to grow up into different adults. And so, you know, and they're different challenges. Like to me, I understand that my oldest son, he's so smart and he's so great and amazing and he has so much potential, but he's challenging. I find it the most challenging to parent him. But I acknowledge that and I'm constantly working on that. And I'm constantly trying to like find new tools to operate around that. I'm not gonna just accept that like you challenge me, so now we're battling. Like, no, I'm gonna figure it out, you know? And like, sometimes I'm just going to be having a bad day myself because I'm a freaking human and I'm overworked. I'm tired. I'm a mom and I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to snap at you. I'm going to yell. And then I'm going to feel really bad about that, but I'm going to apologize to them. That's like I think that's a really big deal. I think that parents like should, like, we're all going to lose our minds. There's not one parent who hasn't. So if they say they haven't, they're full of it. It's important to apologize to your children. It's important
for kids to do that. People don't do like that. Doesn't feel natural to them. Whereas I feel like it's so important in teaching our kids that sometimes you have to stop and apologize as well. And if we're not setting an example,
you want to yell at them and then be stubborn about it, or just move on and pretend like it didn't happen. Like, they appreciate it too, and it makes them like more like, you'll see like when you start doing that, I feel like they develop at a higher level because of that. And then they operate at a higher level, like, because you're teaching them like real ways to act, you know, and they have to learn that the recovery is more important than the initial things that you do, the initial living. Like I always say, you know, everybody's going to make mistakes, but it's how you respond to your mistakes that makes you who you are.
Yeah. And that's one of the things about your story. You've been so open with that. But when you got your DUI early on, the way you handled that as a mom, I mean, my goodness, you were open with your kids. You explained why you weren't driving, the decision you made that caused you not to be able to drive, and what a lesson in consequences. Did that feel very natural to you to say, this is how I'm going to handle it? Or did you put a little thought into, okay, do I share this with, I guess your son would have been the oldest to communicate
with. Yeah.
Because that's a big decision that you made.
You know what's so funny, Jennifer? We all have our stuff, right? We all have the thing. Me, just like everybody else, I have certain areas that I'm just not confident in, or I want to question it for whatever reason. Being the mom, I've always just followed my intuition and I feel like confident about that. And like, I know myself, I know my kids, and I know the difference between right and wrong. But even when you know the difference between right and wrong, that doesn't mean that you don't do wrong sometimes, right? And that was, I felt in my heart, a very important thing to show my kids and to share with them. And like, obviously I don't go into the nitty gritty details of it because they're children, but I did think it was important for them to see that everybody has consequences to bad decisions and bad choices, including mommy, who is, you know, albeit God, you know, we're like their Mecca, the parents, you know, and no, I'm not, you know, but it was important for me to show them that I'm taking responsibility and I have remorse for it. And that did affect my kids. And I felt horrible about that. You know, but the only thing I could do was do that and do better.
Right. Yeah. I love that. Tell me a little bit about, let's get into the fun. Tell me what taping, recording Housewives is like. What is your schedule as a mom like? Let's say it's a recording day. Okay. A scene is going to be recorded. What does your day as a mom look like for you?
It's insane bananas. Like, because if the kids are here, it's normal. Like, I have to get them up. I have to get them to school. I have to coordinate. You know, they're in 500 different sports. Like, I spend most of my time just like every other mom, just like driving my kids around. All their crap, right? So like, I have to make sure that I have all of their childcare scheduled, or me and Travis, like, thank God Travis is like my rock, man, because we just will pick up for each other. We pick up the slack for each other, and we just make it happen, and we help figure it out. So just like everybody else, you know, I'm coordinating those things or whatever. And then if we're filming at my house, just like every other mom who's about to have company over and they wish that they had one more, two more days before their company was coming over, I'm zipping around the house. I'm picking up my laundry and I'm hiding it behind the shower in my kid's bathroom. Like, that's
okay, relatable, Gina, relatable.
Like, really, that's what I'm doing. Like, right now, I promise you, Jennifer, I have a mountain of laundry hiding in my kid's bathtub. And, you know, just like trying to make it as like cute as, but then some stuff you just have to give up. It is what it is. Like, we're not going to go in this room, whatever. And then, yeah, they'll come and we'll just get it done. And then they leave. And a lot of the times, like if I'm out, it used to be more like people we'd hang after, whatever. Like, I just want to go and do it and then go home, you know? Yeah. Like, I just am not.
It's more of a job than people realize, really.
It's such a job. It's 5 days a week. It's like 4 months of filming. It's 5 days a week. It's filming usually multiple times a day. You have to have an outfit for everything you do. It's even just the clothes alone that you have to be participating in this is wild. And I don't know any of that.
Are they and saying, here's what you need, or is that up to you?
That's completely up to you, but like every scene you have to have on a different outfit. So if you're filming three scenes in one day, you have to have three different outfits. And it's not like they're telling you that because they want it to be bougie. It's for continuity. So like, okay, they might not use the scene they're not going to play it necessarily as one day. Yep. So it would be weird if you were in the same outfit. So you just have to have that. And then of course there is this element of people care about what we wear and da-da. I actually love that. So I think that's the fun. And you know what else I love? Yes, of course I wear some higher end stuff. I mean, I am on this show and I has been a couple years and, you know, whatever. Sure. And I love the fashion and all that. But like a lot of the stuff I wear too is very affordable. And so it's fun to be able to like share with people things that they actually can buy.
Mm-hmm. Is there a Housewives of Orange County stylist that's going out and saying, this is for Gina, this is for Shannon, like that kind of thing? Or
no, I mean, not at all.
Not at all.
A lot. Well, most of the women have stylists and
personal.
Yeah, they do definitely do that. I do all my stuff myself, and I do most of my own hair and makeup.
Okay. Yeah, you always look so great. Do you do a lot of online shopping, or do you like to actually get out and dig in the stores?
I mean, I love to dig. I'm definitely like a hunter. It's great, but I don't have the time. You know, it's like, yeah, if I'm out and I'm at the mall, like, of course I'm going to like shop, but I mostly online shop at this point because I just feel like that's the way of the world lately.
Yeah. Okay, but this is the most important question. Would you still walk into a TJ Maxx?
I did 2 days ago.
Perfect.
And I'll tell you what, I still walk into Ross. I'll do you one better than TJ
Maxx. That is even better, yeah.
Okay? I have no shame in my game. I'm a regular at Home Goods. I am like, why do we pretend like saving money is bad? Like, what if you don't have to pay full price for something? Why is that bad? Doesn't that make you smart?
Yeah, that's what I would say for sure. Yes.
Yeah. Trust me, I've taken many a picture with fans in all of those stores. So we definitely have the proof
that you actually shop there.
In those stores. Yes.
So you also at heart, and I don't know if you felt this before or if being a part of the show has kind of brought this out in you, but you have a real entrepreneurial spirit. I mean, you've got, of course, the podcast going on that you do with our friend Shane McAnally, which is awesome. It's called Orange County. Check it out. But then you've got a skincare line, of course, the real estate, all of these. Do you feel like being part of the show helped to bring that part of you out?
I think it helped to like reignite that. Like I've worked since I'm 15 years old. I have always been a hustler. Like I'm from New York too. Like I hate to like be like that, but it is true. It's a mentality. It's something that's in you. Like when you're there, like you just, we all hustle. Like we all work really hard. Not to say that people don't work hard other areas, but like, it's just like a thing, right? And it's a fast paced lifestyle. And like, you just go, 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 and you take advantage of every opportunity. And so I think I just kind of was brought up that way. And then you come here and it's like a slower lifestyle, but I still live the way that I live. And I have three kids to take care of, and I'm aware that they're going to need, you know, that's three colleges. That's, I want them to have everything. And I like to work. I like to succeed. It's fun. Like the real estate, I love it, you know? And so I would like a vacation maybe at some point, but yeah. But right now is the time to go, you know, and I'm not trying to leave anything on the ground. And I know that this is not going to last forever. And so I'm trying to figure out a way to like use this platform and this amazing opportunity that has been given to me. I don't want to squander it. You know, I want to take it and use it to build something else and to figure that out. And it's not easy necessarily to figure that out too, especially somebody who doesn't come from the entertainment industry. So it's, you have to figure out how to use the platform to get it to monetize for you. And that's tricky. But yeah. I do think that would be my advice to like any women coming on the show, you know, like now would be, don't like, unless you have it like that, which a lot of them do, and that's great. But like, if you're someone more like me that's coming on and you're not, you know, dripping in the Chanel and all that, don't look at it like the show is going to be the thing that's going to give you job security, longevity, retirement. It's not like, but look at the show as like the opportunity to figure out what will.
Right. The platform to use to step up on.
Yeah.
To do whatever it is you're going to do. I love that. Well, I want to wrap up our time together with a little mom talk. So tell me what you would say that you got from your own mom. And then I also want to hear the story about you telling your mom you thought you were going to say yes to being on Housewives.
Well, that one's easy. My parents are my biggest fans. My mom is, she's so funny, man. She's so funny. And naturally, not like, like I'm like a jokester. She's just like, I'm like, what are you saying and doing? She makes me laugh. But my parents are also my biggest fans. So they have supported me since day one. They were so excited. They were so proud of me for even getting this show. But honestly, like, they've always been my biggest fans. So, you know, they would be proud of me no matter what I did. So they were stoked. They were like, you absolutely have to do this. Take your shot. You deserve it. All that. But my mom, I will say specifically, I think my mom definitely, I look back now and I didn't realize it at the time, but my mom, I think, is the reason why I have self-confidence in myself. My dad is the reason I think I have self-confidence in like my intellect and that way. But my mom is the reason why I have self-confidence in my body. And I'll be honest, it's because my mom never made a big deal of it and would lay, like, I remember having so many times in her like bedroom where she'd be getting dressed. My mom's like really endowed, and like we'd be hysterical laugh because she'd be like, I can't even fit my bra. We couldn't get the dress up. And instead of my mom looking in the mirror and being sad and depressed, we would hysterical laugh. Like, this is so ridiculous, da, 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 you know? And she never made it a thing. And I think that like really never made me realize that it was a thing. And so now it's still not a thing for me. And when I am in my chubby, you know, when my jeans are tight, I just make a joke of it, but like, I don't feel bad about myself. You know, I mean, everybody prefers themselves at their fighting weight, but when I'm not, I'm okay. I still feel beautiful. And I think everybody should, you have to love yourself the most, you know,
right.
You really do. So I think that I got that from my mom, and I'm very thankful, especially that I landed in the industry I landed in, now that I have a daughter. I'm so thankful for her.
With a daughter, that's because, you know, your daughter's growing up in this world where she sees dripping in Chanel. I love, that's going to be my new term. But she sees that. Do you feel a challenge to make sure that she grows up with that same body confidence, intellect confidence, all of those things that you are blessed to be instilled with?
I feel actually relieved because I think that when you just have it naturally, that spills out onto your children. And my daughter just is such a unique personality already. And she doesn't care. I can see it already. All the girls are such girly girls and she's not, and she doesn't care. And I'm like, that's great. You be you, you do you. I mean, of course. Yeah, everybody worries, you know, I mean, I don't want her to ever get bullied or da, da, but like, I just think if you're setting the example, you're the blueprint. And mm-hmm. if the blueprint is written well, they're just going to fall right into that. So I thank my mother for that because I feel that, you know, there's some things generationally that get passed on that you're like, oh, I wish that wasn't. Like, I see that. Like, some of my stuff my kids have, I'm like, oh, shit, I gave you that, you know? we'll work on that. We're going to rewrite. I'm going to fix that in me. And then hopefully we could reroute that, you know? But then there are some things like that that I'm like, thank you, because that's a big one. And that came from my mother.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I love it. It's been so awesome to talk to you. I want you to leave us with what you would say is probably the best parenting advice you ever got.
I've put this on my own Instagram before and I really believe this. I think like when you talk to your children, I made this shift and I believe in it. Like, so everybody is always like telling their children, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. I say to my children, of course, everyone, you know, now and then I tell them I'm proud of them. Of course, they need to know it's proud of you. But for the most part, when they do something great and amazing at school, whatever, I say to them, are you proud of yourself? Because I want them to learn that, you know what? Yeah, don't do this for my approval. Don't do this because I'm not going to be here one day. You need to do it for yourself. And I think that that shift is important for them. And you see it in there because, you know, we're so used to saying, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. If you do that to your kid and you say, oh my God, this is so amazing, so incredible. You must be so proud of yourself. You'll see they light up and they start to think about it. And because then they have to think about it. Am I proud of myself? Oh, wait, I did do this. I am great. And then it just, you watch them come alive from it. And then if that's the stuff that I think starts to, we have to think like about our kids. You want to build the foundation in them. That's the kind of stuff that helps them build out who they are, independent of who you are. And I think that's the goal.
So good, Gina. I love that. Yeah. Yeah. And it's just one of those little easy switches, you know, like how you ask that question. That's
that,
really, really
and good. Also to the young mothers, use a scissor to cut up all the food. It's way easier. I'm telling you, cut the pizza, cut the hot dog, cut it all with the kitchen scissor. It's so much easier than going like this all the time.
There's our practical tip for the day. Yes, so yeah, practical. That's perfect. Okay. Tell me one thing we have look forward to on this next season of the show.
Oh my gosh, we just started and I'll tell you already, I am even so shocked at the shakeup and the transition of the different friendships that you would never think were ever going to happen. Like already that's blown my mind.
Does this include you?
Yes.
Oh my.
I mean, and then also I think it's really cool for everybody, obviously, to see. I mean, I was even like, I can't believe we're going to see Shannon and Alexis in the same room. So, I mean, for me, I was here for that too. I was like, this is insane, you know? So, obviously, everybody has that to look forward to as well.
There we go. There's our teaser. It's been so nice to talk to you. I love you that you figured out, you know, raising these kids and balancing the world, having a passion of your own, several of your own entrepreneurial things that are out there, all the stuff that you're doing. So it's, I'm really excited for you.
Thank you, Jennifer. I had a blast and your house is beautiful.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thanks so much to Gina. She was so fun and I really appreciate how vulnerable she was in the interview. I cannot wait to see her on this new season. Hopefully you've already subscribed to our podcast, but if not, be sure to do so you don't miss an episode. We've got some great ones with more of your favorite reality TV mamas coming up. We'll see you back here next week.